Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm talking about how you can follow God's will. And this is actually a follow-up to another teaching that I did for about 3.5 weeks on how to find God's will. But once you know what God's will is, as important as that is, you also have to follow God's plan for accomplishing His will. And I'm using the life of Moses to teach this. Yesterday I gave kind of an introduction and we read scriptures from Exodus chapter 2. And if you took those scriptures from Exodus chapter 2 by themselves, it leaves a lot of blanks. And so shows like the Ten Commandments, it was put out by Cecil B. DeMille. They kind of filled in those blanks the way they wanted to, and they presented some things that weren't actually factual. And I can understand how they did it, because if you just took Exodus chapter 2 and read about the life of Moses, well, it doesn't say all of these things. But there are other scriptures that are like commentaries on the life of Moses. One of them was given by Stephen, the very first martyr in the church. And he was accused by the Jews that he was against all of the Jewish laws and traditions that were given by Moses. And so he stood up and made a defense before the Jews. And it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. At the end of this sermon that he gave, he was stoned to death, and as he was stoned, the heavens opened up and he saw Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. And there's a number of things that show that Stephen was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as he went back and recounted Jewish history, he was being inspired and led by the Holy Spirit. And he gives us some information about Moses' life that you don't get by just reading Exodus alone. So let's turn over to Acts chapter 7 and read some of this. Again, if you've missed any of these programs, I made a lot of points yesterday that really could come to bear on what I'm going to be saying today. So I encourage you to please get the materials or at least go back and study these things, because you need all of this to be able to get the full impact of what we can learn through Moses' life. So in Acts chapter 7, this is just a portion of Stephen's sermon. And he said this in Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, "In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and mighty in words and deeds." Now, that's an important piece of information when we get back to Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. Where Moses had his encounter with God and the Lord told him he was going to send him down into Egypt. And Moses says, "I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. Nobody will listen to me." This, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that Moses was learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. In other words, when you look at this, spoken under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, here's another thing you can learn from the life of Moses, and that is that he was making excuses and saying, "God, I can't," when the truth is that God had equipped him and had given him all of these things. He's no different than a lot of us, that we get overwhelmed with the task that God has given us and thinking, "God, I just can't do it." And maybe on your own you can't do it, but under God's power and anointing, you can do it. And the Lord eventually told Moses that in Exodus chapter 4. He says, "Look, I made man's mouth. I can make it talk." Amen. Man, I've used that verse because I was an introvert and couldn't look at people. And man, I stumbled over myself. I never stuttered badly, but I struggled to talk in front of people. And yet God made my mouth and God has anointed me. And now I can speak to millions and millions of people and it's not a problem. And God was saying the same thing to Moses. And in verse 23, it says, "And when he was full 40 years old." Now, this is the only instance in Scripture that gives us the age of Moses when he went out and killed this Egyptian. This is going to be pivotal in understanding some of the things that happened in Moses' life. So in verse 23, when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now, notice the terminology here. He didn't just do this, just out of a freak accident. It wasn't something that just unfolded. It came into his heart. This is something he desired to do. And as these next verses will say, he knew that the Israelites were his brethren. He knew that he was a Jew. And he not only knew that, but he knew that God had raised him up to bring deliverance to the Jews. So this wasn't just something that happened. It wasn't fate or providential, and he didn't know what was going on. It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And in verse 24, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And that 25th verse makes it very clear that when Moses went out and visited the Jews and saw one of them being oppressed by one of the Egyptian taskmasters, and then he killed the Egyptian. When he did this, he did it trying to bring God's will for his life to pass. He knew that God had raised him up to bring deliverance to the Jews. So he knew God's will for his life, but he didn't understand God's timing, and he didn't understand God's plan. He went and just begin to start thinking that, God, I can take it from here. You've revealed to me what you want me to do. I can handle it from here. And this is a mistake that a lot of people make. In verse 26, it says, and the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou killest the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying. He was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared unto him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in the flame of fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. And the Lord went on and told him he was going to send him back to Egypt. But let me just point out again that in verse 30, I guess it is, it says when 40 years were expired. So in verse 23, I believe, is the only time that it says that he was 40 years old when he killed this Egyptian. And in verse 30 is when it is the only time in Scripture that it says it was 40 years later. He was 80 years old when the Lord appeared unto him. So anyway, you take these verses that are under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in a commentary on the life of Moses, and here's some things that you, conclusions that you can come to. Moses knew God's will for his life, but he tried to accomplish God's will in his own timing and in his own strength and power. And let me just say that this is such a common mistake that is made. I see lots of people that have found God's will for their life, but then instead of being prepared and instead of letting God work in them and get them to a place to where they are usable, they just go out and they try and accomplish God's will in their own strength and power, and they weren't equipped, they weren't able to handle the pressures, the temptations that come with being used of God. And I have seen this, I'm sure every one of you have seen many people, like just in ministry, let's just focus on ministry. How many people have you seen that had a good heart and started out right, but they were not able to fulfill what God had called them to do, and they fall by the wayside in sexual sin, or they steal finances, they get bitter, or all of these other things? They may have known God's will for their life, but they didn't know how to accomplish it. They didn't know how to flow with God and let God use them. And this happens all of the time. And with Moses, I believe that it's very understandable how Moses did this, because the way that Moses' life was spared was absolutely supernatural. The Pharaoh had given a command to kill all of the male children that were born to the Israelites, And instead of Moses being killed, which was the law of the land, he supernaturally survived. And not only did he survive like in hiding for 40 years, but instead he was actually raised in the household of Pharaoh. How miraculous was that? I mean, according to Pharaoh's own order, he should have been killed, and yet he survived, but he didn't just survive. He thrived in the household of Pharaoh. He was learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was mighty in words and deeds. You know, I've actually read secular accounts of Moses, and Moses is recorded in secular history outside the Bible. And Moses was a general, and Moses went down and fought the Ethiopians and had one of the greatest military victories that Egypt ever did. And it was all under Moses' guidance. So Moses, it says he was a very goodly person. I believe he was handsome, he was strong, he was robust. Plus, he had all of this knowledge of the Egyptians. The Egyptians actually did cataract surgery, removed brain tumors. They were super advanced for their time. They were able to embalm bodies. And today, with all of our skill that we've learned, people cannot duplicate the way that the Egyptians embalmed bodies. 6,000 years later, you can take some of these mummies and they still have their hair, they still have skin, even though it's all shriveled up and everything. I mean, it's still miraculous the way that they were able to embalm bodies. They were very advanced. They built these pyramids that today, with all of our modern technology, men would have a super hard time building it with the exact detail and all the mathematics that they used. I mean, it was amazing. And it says Moses had all of that. Moses was so skilled militarily. He had wisdom. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. He was like second or third in command in the line of succession to take over the nation of Egypt. You know, all of these things, if you looked at it, most people watching this program would have done the exact same thing that Moses did. If God revealed to you that he was going to use you to bring deliverance to the Jews, you would have just stopped right there and have not listened to when it was going to happen, how it was going to happen. You would have just assumed, well, certainly God is going to do it through my position. No wonder I was put in Pharaoh's house. No wonder I have the control of the armies of Egypt. And you would have just supposed that it was going to be by your position, with your might, with your clout, your power, you were going to do this. You know, thank you, Father, for revealing your will to me. What a wise choice. I can see the wisdom in it. Yeah, you know, you just get me introduced. You opened up the door and I can take it from here. That's the way that a lot of people are. But you know what? God's plan was not to bring the Jews out of the land of Egypt through military might and through Moses' position and form some kind of a civil war or do something like that. God's plans, as we know it over in the book of Exodus, was to pour out these plagues that hit every one of their gods. The Egyptians worshiped the Nile. They worshiped frogs. They worshiped lice. They did all of these things, and a plague came on every one of Egypt's gods and just totally devastated them. It was supernatural. It wasn't going to be the might of some man that brought the Israelites out. It was going to be God displaying his power. And God had a totally different plan. And Moses made the mistake of just assuming that God was going to use his might, his power, his clout to do all of these kind of things. And he totally missed God on this. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there are people watching this program that you have found out what God's will is. You have a leading, a desire, and you believe that God has a purpose for your life. But it is just as critical for you to find out how God wants to accomplish that and the timing that God has for accomplishing his will. You know, here's another thing, and this is really important that you get this. Moses missed the timing of God on bringing the Israelites out of bondage. Now, how can I say that? Let me turn over here to Genesis chapter 15 and show you some scriptures. This is where God made a covenant with Abram, and he had promised him that his seed was going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the seashore. But during this covenant, he said unto him in Genesis chapter 15 and in verse 13, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So God said He was going to give the Amorites another 400 years before He brought this desolation on these nations, and before He brought His children out from this nation that was going to oppress them. And, you know, some people think that when it says 400 years, maybe this is just 400 years from when the Israelites went down into Egypt. But that's not what it's talking about. I'm not going to take time to turn over there. But in Galatians chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 4, it shows that this promise that was given to Abraham here in Genesis chapter 15, the law, which was 430 years after, could not disannul. And so the 430 years when they were at Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments was given was 430 years from this time when this prophecy was given. And it is not incorrect because it says that they will be oppressed in a land. Well, they were oppressed at this time because they didn't have their own land. They didn't own it. They were like strangers. They had to move around. You find instances where they asked Abram to leave them. They asked Isaac to leave. And so it was accurate. But anyway, it was 400 years prophesied from this time that the children of Israel would be in bondage. Now turn over to Exodus chapter 12. And this is after all of the plagues had come upon the land of Egypt. The children of Israel were leaving the land of Egypt. And it says in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40, it says, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Now, this is significant. It was exactly to the day 430 years from the prophecy of Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13. 430 years, and yet it was prophesied to Abraham that it would only be 400 years. There is a 30-year discrepancy here. What does this mean? Well, again, if you turn over to those verses we used earlier in the program in Acts chapter 7, it says, it was after 40 years after Moses had killed this Egyptian that he spent in the wilderness. Then God appeared to him in the burning bush and told him to go back. So if you take those 40 years Moses spent in the wilderness from away from this 430 years total time, that means that it was only the 390th year of Israel's captivity that Moses went out and killed this Egyptian and tried to start making the will of God come to pass. And so when you look at it this way, you know what this means? Moses was 10 years premature in trying to bring God's will to pass. God had said it'd be 400 years. Moses tried to accomplish it in the 390th year. You know, when God says He's going to give these people 400 years, you are not going to shorten that. Now, you can delay it. You can delay the things of God, but you can't shorten it. You can't microwave your ministry. You can't microwave your miracle. There is a timing to the things that God wants to accomplish, and you might not be able to shorten it, but you certainly can lengthen it. You can get in the way and slow down the things that God wants to accomplish. And, you know, here again, I'm speculating on this, but I'm pretty confident that this is true. That if Moses knew the prophecy of Genesis chapter 15, and I believe he did because the Jews were just excellent at, you know, orally passing on the things that God had spoken to them, and they rehearsed this, their traditions and things to their children. And I personally believe that Moses knew about this 400 years prophecy. If Moses knew about it and he realized that it was only 390 years and there was another 10 years left, I believe that Moses could have rationalized and excused him trying to bring God's will to pass premature by looking and saying, but God, if I wait another 10 years, look at all of the people that are going to die under this oppression to the Egyptians. He hated it. He wanted to accomplish God's will. He knew what God wanted him to do, but he just wanted to get it done right then. And he could have rationalized. And, you know, let's just say that there was 100,000 Jews that were dying each year under slavery. I don't know how many, but let's just say that there were 100,000. In 10 years, that would mean 1 million Jews would die under the oppression of the Egyptians with their prayers for deliverance unanswered. And you know what? Most people just feel like, but the situation is so bad that we've got to compromise. We just can't wait. We've got to do something right now. For instance, the Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that we are not supposed to put a novice into a place of leadership in the body of Christ. I mean, that's very clear. It just makes it super clear. Don't do it. It's a command. And yet, how many times have you seen somebody who was a politician or a movie star or an athlete or somebody who already had recognition, everybody knew who they were, they get born again, and the body of Christ wants to instantly make them a poster child and set them up there and start using this name recognition to promote the body of Christ. And yet the Scripture says, don't do it. When you get born again, you don't get born again mature. You get born again as a baby, and you need to grow in Christ, and you should not be put as a spokesman and a leader in the body of Christ until there is some maturity in your life. And there are examples of people. I could name people right now back in the 60s, people who were super popular, a singer I'm thinking of, who was made the poster child, and he wasn't able to handle the pressure, and he made some wrong statements, and then the Christians began to condemn him. And, you know, in the early 2000s, he surfaced again, and this time with some maturity. And he said that it was the worst thing that could have ever happened for him to be made a spokesman when he first got born again. He did so many things wrong, and it turned people against Christianity and all kinds of things. And what God said in 1 Timothy 3 about not putting a novice in a position of authority is true. And yet we violate that all the time because we say the need is so great. It's so urgent. We got to do everything we can right now. See, Moses could have followed that logic. And if Moses knew about these prophets, he could have said, but God, there will be 1 million people die over the next 10 years. But how many people died over the 30 years extra bondage that Moses caused by his self-will? If you use the same figures, then instead of just 1 million people, it would have been 3 million Jews died under slavery that could have been living in freedom because Moses went out and tried to accomplish things in his own will. I tell you, you need to learn how to follow God's will, not just find it, but follow it. And we are going to continue to talk about this. I'm out of time today, but I tell you, this is an important teaching. I really encourage you to get this. It would help you. It saved me a lot of hurt and heartache by learning these things at Moses' expense. Praise God, I believe that this is something that could help you and it could help other people. So listen as our announcer gives you that information. Call or write today, request these materials, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled, Moses Missed God's Timing, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled, God Wants You Well, for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Boston, Massachusetts next week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 12th through the 14th and in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 12th through the 17th. He'll also be in Johnson City, Tennessee September 18th through the 19th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference October 4th through the 8th, and in Buxton, Derbyshire in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference October 18th through the 20th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
The almost too good to be true news you can use. www.awmi.net. When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.
Have you ever wanted to check out back issues of Gospel Truth magazine from Andrew Womack Ministries? They're available online at awmi.net. Just log on to our website, look to the left, and click on Extras. Then look to the left again and click on Online Magazines. Once you're there, you're free to browse through our selection of Gospel Truth magazines from years past. Check out some great articles, and be sure and check out the current issue while you're at it. Gospel Truth Magazine, now available online at awmi.net.